You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, we welcome you to Panel Sunday. We are looking forward to all that's going to happen right here. It's a fun time when we get to share in the Word and things begin to come out. And God's going to set you free today. God's going to minister to you in a special way. You know, but Paul, is about 2 weeks ago, you and I were in the office and we were meeting with a man. And as we were talking, this guy just looked at Paul and I and said, "Just to tell you the truth, I'm a little worried." Well, that just went off. When he said that, that went off inside me. There's no way to live happy. There's no way to live blessed and live free when you're worried.
Right.
When you're just a little worried. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Let's read. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "That's why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food or your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in the barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God so cares wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he certainly care for you? Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying what we'll eat, what we drink, what we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So seek first the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Why does Jesus, in that short passage, say four times back to back to back, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry"? Why does he do that? Because we all worry. Let's don't act like we don't face worry. All of us have worries. All of us have worries. All of us have worries. Now, how do we deal with those? How? And he clearly makes a distinction between the way unbelievers live and the way believers live. So as believers, how do we live with this constant thought of worry coming down? How do we handle that? I want to have our panel today and say, let's talk about how are you biblically, spiritually, in your own personal life, how are you handling worry? Paul, you were sharing some things backstage with me. Start us off.
Well, I think the thing that stuck out most to me in that scripture is you have to recognize what little worry can do to help you. Worry can't help you. And, you know, as I was hearing Jesus say that, I was thinking, worry cannot help you at all. Worry doesn't have the power to prevent things from happening to you at all. Also, the bad things that we oftentimes worry about never end up happening to us. As a matter of fact, Tori and I were talking about this, and we were saying, you know, there's got to be some statistics about, you know, the things that people worry about that never materialize and what actually happens, and she actually had them.
As I was getting ready for this, I came across some statistics, and it says 40% of the things we worry about never happen. 30% of the things we worry about are from the past, and we can't change them. 12% are related to things we cannot control, 10% are related to health, and 8% are things that are actually worth worrying about.
Okay, so, wait, time out. Go over that again. I don't believe anybody listened to what she just said.
Over 70% of it.
You were adding this up. Tell us that again, Jordan. Okay. Now listen to this.
So 40% of the things we worry about never happen. 30% of the things we worry about are from the past, and we can't change them. They've already happened. 12% are related to things we cannot control, 10% are to our health, and 8% out of 100% of the time, those are things we actually should be worrying about. And so it go, you know, worrying about things that never happen. We're borrowing worry that's not even ours to have. You know, stuff from the past that we can't change. As Christians, if we've taken part in salvation, we've been forgiven. So mistakes, our choices have been thrown as far as the east is from the west, and those aren't even significant anymore.
That's good.
Things we can't control, you know. A lot of things are out of our control,
right.
Fortunately, we know the one who is in control.
That's right.
And he gets the final say. You know, our health is obviously important, but knowing who my God is, he's my healer. And so he is fully capable to take care of me. So at the end of the day, you know, we can just see that worry does not add any worth to our life.
That's so good.
Before I give it to Josh, let me just recognize we could close in prayer and go home right now.
Right.
But all of us on stage are ministers, and so being good ministers, you just keep talking about the same thing over and over and over.
That's
you drag it way out. So, I mean, there it is.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah, I think there's a difference in, like, your present, like, situations that you're in and, like, hypothetical situations. Mm-hmm. So I think we worry about, like, a lot of things. Like you said, we worry about a lot of things that aren't even going to happen. And we have all these, like, what ifs. And you don't have any power over those things. So what you do is you turn those things over to the Lord. You cast all your cares, worries, and anxieties upon him.
Yeah.
And you pray about them. That's what you do. The hypothetical is what you pray about. Your present circumstances are what you take care of. Can you handle it? Do it. My wife has been so good for me because I naturally procrastinate and put everything off. And so a lot of times my worry and anxiety is because I've caused it. Like, I've produced it in my own life because I didn't call the bank. I didn't call the HVAC guy. I didn't handle that. I didn't meet with that person. I didn't do this. And so a lot of it is like, I have created worry in my life because I have put things off. And so many times if I begin to feel anxiety about that or whatever, my wife looks at me and goes, why didn't you just do it? Just, like, handle it. She's such a do it now kind of person. She's been so good for our marriage and for my budget. So she's just like a do it now kind of person. Like, if there's a situation that comes up, it's like, well, let's just call them. Let's just whatever. And Melissa and I were even talking about, like, in our relationships with people, sometimes we get so caught up and worried about what so-and-so thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And many times it's because there's distance in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this fear of thinking about, what does this person think about me, or I'm worried that they're thinking this about me. Well, the way that you overcome that is close that distance. Go to that person, talk to them, handle it, instead of creating worry and anxiety for yourself on things that you can handle.
That's so good. In Philippians, it says, think about what is true. And it's easy to get caught up in, well, what if this, what if this, what if this? And by the end of the day, you've had an argument with somebody who has never talked to you, and the whole world is falling apart. But if you think about what is true in this moment, I'm going to think on what is true, and then I'm going to act on that. And before that, actually, it says, be anxious in nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, bring your prayers before God with the thankful heart, remembering his faithfulness, and then his peace will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. But having that perspective as you come into this place where I'm not going to worry about that, that's not mine. That's tomorrow's worry, not mine.
That's good.
And if anybody up here has an opportunity to worry, it'd be you. In case y'all don't know, she's getting married here pretty soon.
Yeah.
So I make sure everybody knows that. Have we mentioned that lately?
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, you run into people, and y'all probably heard people say this, I'm just really concerned.
Yeah.
I'm really concerned for our country right now. I'm really concerned about this situation right now. Well, you know, I think we have to make sure we are discerning between what is concern and what is worry.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Because when you worry about something, it just gets you stuck in a problem.
Mm-hmm.
When you're concerned about something, you're being proactive and you're doing something about the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times people say, I'm really concerned about something. We really know all you're doing is worrying about it all the time.
Yeah.
You think you're concerned about it, but really you're just worrying about it, and you get stuck in that place. You don't see a way out. You don't see how it can get any better.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it's probably going to get worse. And, you know, once again, it goes back to those statistics. You know, it's
crazy.
You know, nothing you can do about it anyway.
Yeah.
And so you have to live your life in a place where you're confident in your relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You're confident that just as the sun comes up tomorrow,
that's good.
God is going to be there with you regardless of what you face. And you're going to face things.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You know, Daniel got thrown in the lion's den, but they didn't eat him. But he did have a lion's den he had to go through. You know, we're all going to have to face things. But we live in that place, making sure we're distinguishing between concern and worry and not allowing ourselves to get bogged down in a bunch of unproductive worry in our life.
That's good.
That's really good.
Absolutely. I was going over some scriptures and I stumbled across Psalm 94:19, and it said, whenever my busy thoughts were out of control, the soothing comfort of your presence calm me down and overwhelm me with delight. And I thought, what a way to think about anxiety.
Yes,
my busy thoughts.
Yeah.
Because how many times have we been worried about this and worried about that, and we get home at the end of the day and we're worn out. because we've worried about so much, things we can't control, to, you know, and, you know, a small percentage of that is legitimate concern, but we get so worked up in ourselves, you know, when it begins to be overwhelming, you know, especially if you're a fixer personality like I am, and I know Melissa is, you know, I see a problem, like, okay, I have to help, I have to fix it, I have to, you know, I have to be that person, you know, and then when I cannot fix it, then I'm overwhelmed, and it bothers me. But when worry overwhelms me, I have to be reminded that even though I may be overwhelmed, I'm not overcome.
That's good. Yeah.
I am not overcome by the things that I have authority over. You know, now I will have times where I'm overwhelmed, but as I acknowledge fear, as I acknowledge worry, as I acknowledge anxiety, I don't give them a place to live.
That's good.
You know, I don't give them a place where they get to run my thought life and run my emotions.
Yeah.
And that reminded me of 2 Corinthians 10:5.
Yep.
Take captive every thought.
Yes.
Yep. You have to take captive every thought that comes our way.
Yeah.
You know, it's not if we have thoughts of worry or anxiety or fear, it's when, because we live in a fallen world and those things will happen.
Right.
And so we have to recognize those thoughts as they come and know to take them captive to the authority that Christ has given us.
I want to call our attention back to the scripture here in Matthew 6. We talk about this a lot in this church. A big problem with people preaching don't worry is, okay, I'm not going to worry.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just quit my job.
Yeah.
I'll lay on the couch. I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to trust God and let God take care of me.
Yeah.
Well, the two examples that Jesus uses here are birds and the lilies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's look at the birds and let's look at the lilies. And there's nothing that works harder than a bird.
That's
you don't
right.
see him hanging out on a limb for hours and hours and hours. He just lands on this power line and just sits there all day long.
Right.
Man, they're just going everywhere looking for a worm, looking for a twig, building their nest.
Yeah.
They're in a constant, but you don't see a bird having a nervous breakdown worrying over whether there's going to be any worms this next year. Oh, it's a drought. The worms are going to go deep. We may not be able to get any worms next year. What if there are no worms? Oh, my goodness. What if we? I'm afraid my kids won't have a worm to get. Because we've eaten all the worms up. Look at the bird.
Yeah.
The bird works hard.
That's good.
I mean, is in a constant state of motion, but is not worried.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about lilies. And some years ago, I did a little bit of study and research on that. Boy, I was overwhelmed at what all that takes place in a flower.
Yeah.
Is it's making this and it's making that and processing this and processing that and all the things that are taking place in photosynthesis and there. I was overwhelmed, except the lily's not worrying about, oh no, what if this doesn't happen? And we're not talking about today laying on the couch and doing nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, we're working hard, early to late we're working hard. But it's different when you don't worry about it, when you don't worry about it.
Back to thought on Tori's point real quick about taking every thought captive. I think many times our thoughts come from what we're feeding ourselves.
Yeah.
Spiritually and mentally. Mm-hmm. And so many times
absolutely.
It's like it's what we're taking in. Your eye's a window to your soul. And so like, what are you feeding your soul? What's coming in?
Mm-hmm.
And I think many times we get caught up in worry because we're taking in CNN and we're taking in Fox News and we're taking in everybody's opinion
Facebook.
Who's not an expert on Facebook.
That's right.
And or letting Facebook and Google be the arbiter of our truth, which they're not supposed to be. And so we're taking these things in and we're getting really worried.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would say is like, check your well. Check where
that's
you're getting
good.
What's your source? Because this is your well right here. Like, this should be it. Because reading scripture, like, doesn't produce worry.
Right.
Because this is God's character.
That's
this is God's heart. And he's
so
God's
good.
Not worried,
yep.
So why should I be? And so we got to be sure that we're making sure, like, what's influencing us. We got to check those things. Don't, you know, don't get your worldview from Reddit. Like, get your worldview from scripture.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Good,
so,
Josh.
Anyway.
Proverbs 26:20 says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, contention quiets down.
Mm.
It's like, what's fueling my thoughts right now? Where am I getting that from? And if you look at John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave to you, peace I give to you. And the peace I give to you isn't the way the world gives to you.
Mm.
It's going to remain and it's going to last. Mm. It says in Isaiah 26:3, you keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on you, who's trusting you. And then 1 Peter 5:7, cast your anxiety on me because I care for you. It's like at the end of the day, in the midst of all the worry and uncertainty, there's somebody who's going to remain certain and he actually cares about you.
Yeah.
And he makes it a point to make sure you know he cares about you and that he's not going to leave you.
Absolutely. And back to what Tori said earlier, to have that happen, you have to take every thought captive.
Yes.
Right.
You don't sit and wait for a good thought to come.
Right.
You take captive a bad thought and you put a good thought in.
Right.
And that can't happen if you've been feeding yourself the wrong thing.
Yeah, I think it's key to like take that thought and interrogate it. Like, where did you come from? Like, is this just me? Is this my flesh? Or is this a thought from some CNN news anchor? Or is this a thought from Satan himself? Is this a thought from, which if it's from CNN, it might be. Is it a thought from, sorry if you watch that. Is it a thought, or is it a thought from the Lord, a thought from the Holy Spirit? So take that thought.
Yeah.
Does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with Jesus? Is this my source? Is this my will?
Mm-hmm. I've been a lot of my time lately, and I've just gotten in a habit pattern in my mind of thinking a thought on through. If I keep thinking that thought, will that help my marriage or hurt my marriage?
Sure.
That thought just hit my mind. If I keep thinking that, is that going to give me a good night's sleep, or is that going to make me have turmoil?
Yeah.
If I keep thinking that, where will that thought take me?
That's good.
And like Josh said, where did it come from? Well, where is it going to go?
That's right.
Where did this thought come from? Where is this thought going to go? And you can always know God's thoughts will take you to peace.
Every
God's
time.
Thought will take you to rest. God's thoughts will take you to prosperity, to success.
Right.
But if this thought is not going there, then you know it didn't come from God.
Yeah.
Actually, worry is it's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize how dangerous worry is. You know, working in the ministry and getting to be around a lot of people over the years, I've watched several people that I knew really, really well because they allowed worry to get a hold of them.
Mm-hmm.
They became so enamored in something that they turned it into a conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And this conspiracy theory literally consumed their life. That's all they focused on. And they literally lost their mind.
Yep.
I mean, it really wrecked them. Tim and I have actually encountered two or three people, and you were talking about, you know, where's this thought going to take me?
Yeah.
Because the fact is, you can always know if worry is anywhere nearby, the kissing cousin of fear is going to be right there with it.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you can always know. And fear can become very palpable in your life. But you were talking about it harming you. You know, I think about, you know, worry doesn't benefit you in any way. It harms you in many ways.
Yes.
And I wrote this down. It harms your physical health. It contributes to high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It causes insomnia. Your health physically is attacked in your immune system when you constantly walk in worry and fear.
That
mentally, it sends a stream of negative thoughts into your life that can suppress your life and your mind spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I mean, it could cut you off from God. Literally, it can cut you off from connecting with the throne of God and having the peace of God flow into your life. So, and you know, worry is just a huge waste of valuable time.
Well,
I mean, you just spend a lot of time doing nothing.
Doing nothing
but worrying.
Well, I see that happening in Christianity back that you mentioned, like a conspiracy. You get wrapped up in that. But I've seen people get so wrapped up in prophecy and let that take them in the wrong direction.
That's right.
Oh, look at this and look at that. And they get so wrapped up and so... I can't do anything about that.
Mm.
Right. I'm going to trust God for it to come about. Right now, I got to live in peace. I got to live in joy.
Yes.
I got to pay. I'll let God handle that. Now, it's interesting to see.
Mm.
I like watching prophetic things unfold.
Sure.
I like reading Zechariah prophesying about Jesus and seeing Jesus come. But that's not my part, is to live in peace,
in
joy, not get so wrapped up in this. And I talk about this a lot. I hear people worrying in prayer.
Yeah.
Oh, Tim, I just pray. I know. Do you feel like jumping off of a bridge when you finish praying? What is the end result of your prayer life?
Yeah.
Man, after listening to you pray for 10 minutes, I'm about ready to jump off the roof of the house.
Yeah.
No, you're just worrying in prayer. Your prayer life is to take things and literally roll those over on the Lord.
Absolutely.
Josh, I think you were talking earlier about the bigness of your problem and the smallness of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
For sure.
Go back over that with us.
But
we start praying, and we pray to a little bitty God about this gargantuous problem we've got.
Yeah.
Well, your prayer life isn't producing what prayer is supposed to produce.
Right, for sure. I think a lot of times worry shows our lack of trust in God, because we're not trusting that He's going to provide what we need. Just give you a real practical example. When Sarah and I were newlyweds, and most newlyweds are don't have any money, so they don't know how to handle their money. They don't make a lot of money. You know, you try to figure that out, and so If you know some newlyweds, like, buy them some pizza or something. It'll yeah. bless them. But it's kind of hard to figure those things out. And I remember before I was in ministry, I was doing landscaping and yard work and different things. And January and February are, like, super just, like, dry months and super, hard to get things done. And trying to, how are we going to make ends meet? How are the bills going to meet? And I remember really stressing and worrying about how we were going to meet those needs. And I remember my boss just grabbed my shoulder one day, he was a Christian man, and he said, as of today, like, you're okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's good.
As of today, you're
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
He's like, nobody's evicting you out of your house right now. You've got food on your table. You got food in your belly. Like, nobody's coming to repossess your car today. Right now, like, you're good. Because he said, you don't know how the Lord's going to come through for you tomorrow.
Yeah,
good.
Absolutely.
And so to like, oh, wow, like put that. So I had to put my hope and trust back in the Lord and not in what my bank account mm-hmm. said, not in whatever, and trusting mm-hmm. as I'm like the sparrow. I'm being diligent. I'm working. I'm doing things.
Right.
But knowing tomorrow the Lord is going to provide for me. Mm-hmm. He's provided for me today, and knowing mm-hmm. tomorrow that he's going to provide for me.
That's a big thing for me, too. Mm-hmm. Look back over your life. What were you so worried about 5 years ago on
today.
This date?
Yeah. Yeah.
On this date, 3 years ago, what were you so jerked mm-hmm. up about? Well, you can't remember.
Yeah.
Well, God saw you through that.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
3 years ago, 3 years from now, you won't even remember what you're jerked up about right now. Mm-hmm. God has always seen me through.
Great.
And God
yeah.
will
so
see
good.
Me through.
He's faithful.
Just
and he won't sure. waste anything. But that perspective is really helpful. I've been doing a lot of that, is just looking at, like, in America right now, we think about, we're living in uncertain times, and we are. These are uncertain times. But in the reality, when have times ever been certain?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like, when
That's
has
right.
it all really been certain?
Never, right.
That's so
yeah.
good.
I have,
is.
Like, a vague memory of what life was like in the normal life. but even then, it wasn't certain. And you think
yeah.
back to Y2K, and you think back to malaria, and all, the anthrax was going to get us all, and
yeah.
all these things.
yeah.
And you go back to even like the Holocaust. You think about what they had to go through. I've been reading about Anne Frank again, and if you talk about isolation and quarantine, they were locked in their house for 2 years.
Wow.
Not 2 weeks, not 3 months, but 2 years. No light of day, could not go out.
Wow.
They couldn't go to Kroger and pick up their groceries by pulling in and then bringing out the groceries to the car. Like, it was complete dependence on God. And even right now, I was telling Josh, in Africa, in Nigeria, there's a church whose pastor just got beheaded in front of the whole church. Last month, somebody mm-hmm. came in and killed the pastor, and all the church members went
into
the bush. I
know some of y'all are wishing that may even happen here. But
not that we want that ever to happen. But they're hiding in the bush, waiting for the Lord to be their next provider. And we,
yeah.
in the comfort of our culture, we forget times
yeah.
are not certain.
That's right.
But God is certain.
That's so good.
And just to think
so
about,
good.
We're just passing through. We're a pilgrim. We're just passing through.
Yep.
Nations will rise.
So
nations will fall. Have wisdom. Have balance. Have discernment. Mm-hmm. Lean into mm-hmm. God. What are you saying? But Song of Songs says that, look at this woman. Who is she that comes up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved?
Yeah.
So in the midst of it, we lean on him. And we're just passing through. I'm an American. I'm totally American. I'm patriotic.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm passing through. And I'm looking for a city
right.
not built
that's
by
good.
Human
that's
hands.
Great.
Oh, that's so good.
It's wisdom.
That's so good.
A lot
yeah.
of good wisdom.
Yeah.
I like Jeremiah chapter 17. I was going to give us a scripture because we want to read several of those, because that's
mm-hmm.
that's the best thing, right?
That's
what God's word says. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him.
Yes.
They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends
yeah.
its roots out by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes.
Mm-hmm.
Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. And never fails to bear fruit. Well, we're in a year of drought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to be in a year of drought spiritually in our lives
yeah.
because we're planted by
yeah.
streams
right.
of living water. And Jesus
water.
Is
right.
that stream. And
absolutely.
What Jesus
it's
says
so good.
Is the water that flows mm-hmm. from the throne of his kingdom room. And it comes into our life
mm-hmm.
and it nourishes us and it supplies what we need. You know, I'm reminded of another scripture in Matthew. It talks about a man who built his house upon the sand, a foolish
mm-hmm.
man, a builder. And then the wise who built his house upon the rock. And it says, when the winds came and the storms blew and beat against the house of the foolish man, the house collapsed.
Mm.
When the winds and the storms came and beat against the house of the wise man, see, storms come to both,
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, the wicked and the righteous. And the storms beat up against that house, the house stood and it did not fall.
Amen.
And you know, I want to be one of those people, and I want Christian Ministries to be a church that's a people that's planted by streams
that's
of
it.
Living water.
Yeah. Right.
So that when the storms of life come, we can be that for people in our life.
Yeah.
We can be that mighty oak. We're not a weed that chokes life out of people because of the worry that we've allowed to entangle our minds and our lives. Yeah. But we're that tree that's planted, and that people can know that, you know, if I'm having problems, I can go to this sister or this brother because they're a mighty oak planted by the streams, and
that's
I can find my needs met in their life. And I think that's what Jesus wants all of us to be for one another.
Yeah, and the way to do that is there is a scripture in Philippians. Melissa touched on it earlier. This is the Passion translation of it. It's Philippians 4:6. It says, be saturated in prayer throughout each day. That's the way to be
saturated.
That mighty
That's
oak.
Right.
You know,
if,
and the key to fighting worry is found in what you do daily.
Right.
And what you do daily determines your routine.
Right.
So daily, if I am not saturated in prayer and it's not what I do daily, then it doesn't become my routine.
Right.
So then I'm opening the door for worry and anxiousness and fear. And so I let it consume me, and it affects the choices that I make and how
really
I trust
good.
God. And then ultimately what I'm able to pour out to others.
Right.
If I'm so consumed with worry, I'm not going to be aware of the needs of the other people around me.
Right. That's good.
You know, and so daily, if I'm saturated in prayer and that's something I do daily, then it becomes my routine. And if it's my routine to be saturated in prayer, telling God every detail, because he's in the details.
Yes.
In verse 7, it says, tell him every detail of your life. And then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ.
That's so
and
good.
So he will always come through with the answers because he's in the details.
Yes.
He doesn't miss a thing.
That's good.
He misses nothing. And so if we offer up every detail, he's going to fill in the blanks. And he always has the answers.
That's great.
That's so good.
That's just gone off inside me. These are such uncertain times.
Yeah.
When have there ever been times that were certain? Listen, that's powerful. And I know I'm very old, obviously, in here. But I, when you said that, I'll never forget during the 60s, and I had a teacher in school that was much older, and she lived through the war. I'm talking about every day in school. The Russians had a nuclear threat, and it was going to get us. And some of y'all waver. You remember living through years that we were going to be blown away any night. And I remember being a little kid laying in bed at night.
Was
it was such an uncertain period of history in there that we were living in.
Yep.
We're still here.
Yeah.
God has seen us through. God has seen us through, and God has seen us through.
And he will. And, you know, I think about David and all that he went through and how his response was, like in Psalms 27, it says, I would have despaired. I would have lost heart. Except I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And if you think about that, and then he goes on to say, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait on the Lord. We have to have a confidence in the midst of this. And I encourage us, even as like when you have kids, your kids are taking on stress too. Your kids are taking on worry too.
Yeah.
And what are we saying in the home that would transfer that?
Yeah.
What are we saying in the home?
That's
David
good.
Goes on to, you know, verses 1 through 3 and 27 is all about how the Lord is my light and my salvation, that I can hide in him. He's my refuge. And then the verse after verse 4 says, in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. But it's all sandwiched around verse 4 that says, one thing I've asked from the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. We talk about the key is seeking first the kingdom of God, getting in his presence. You and Sarah are with the kids and you do a worship thing before you go to bed at night. Getting saturated in that place of oneness with the Lord. And then communicating that the best is yet to come. This is going to be good. This is going to be a good year.
That's really good.
And just releasing confidence into your kids.
I would say make just a comment on that for all the parents in the room, because we have children.
Absolutely.
And this isn't really like the situations that we've gone through this year aren't anything that you can shield your kids from.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Unless they're my daughter's two, so she didn't really know what's going on. But but my boys, they're 5 and 7 and driving down the road and asking me about the coronavirus and asking me about these things and asking me about, you know, and seeing... You know, seeing things on TV, on news, and ads, and just different things coming up, and they're asking me like, what's going on, or Dad, what do you think about this, or how are we supposed to respond, and to build their faith up,
right?
Like, I think we're doing an entire generation of disservice when we're saying things like, you can't go back to school, you can't go play with your friends, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. You got to stay locked inside your house because there's a virus out there.
Right.
And I'm not downplaying, you know,
absolutely.
Obviously it's hurt, but we're raising a generation to live in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even in the church, we're raising, and we need to raise a generation in faith.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
And
that's
understand
it. Yes.
Yeah.
That absolutely. They have the Spirit of the living God on the inside
yes.
of them. And so I'm speaking to my boys like, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Nothing can come close to you. Nothing can touch
that's
you. And
it,
when
yeah.
they're raised with that mindset, guess what happens? They begin to walk in power.
That's
instead
it.
Of fear, instead of turning yeah. our power over to the enemy, let's be the ecclesia. Let's be the church
yes.
and raise a generation up that believes I've got the same yeah. Spirit in me that raised Christ Jesus from the dead.
And there, as a parent, there's ways to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I want you to learn to wash your hands because
sure.
the Bible talks about cleanliness.
Right, yeah.
The Bible talks about being mm-hmm. aware of
yeah.
health.
Right.
This is a good practice for you to learn, mm-hmm. but not on the heels of you're going to die and this coronavirus
right.
and all that.
Right.
We've just got to make sure that our little kids, you got to know that they hear every conversation
oh,
we have.
Right.
And
yep.
it's on everybody's mouth. We're all talking about, I think this is stupid, or I don't think it's stupid, or mm-hmm. I think you ought to wear this. They're hearing all of this going
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them go in their bed and lay in that room,
mm-hmm.
stare at the ceiling
yeah.
with their little heart
that's
worried.
Right. That's
yeah.
right.
We're talking
yeah.
about worry today, and I want to make sure, parents, as you're learning how to overcome your worries, I want to make sure that you parents of young kids are going to take this message and translate that
yes.
into the
yep.
hearts of your little kids. I don't want any 5, 6, 8, 10-year-old in this church
right.
laying in their bed at night
yep.
staring
yeah.
at the
yeah.
ceiling and their heart beating irregular.
Yeah.
That can't happen. We're going to have to be better parents than that.
Yeah, I'll just last comment on this part is a big thing that with my boys, like a fun story is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, like stood before Nebuchadnezzar, looked him in the face and said, even if our God doesn't save us, we will not
yeah.
bow to you.
Yeah.
And so to have that even if faith, like
yeah.
even if God doesn't say, like, if he doesn't save me in this moment, guess what? I'm going to wake up face to face with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so to raise him with that kind of faith,
yeah.
like Christ
right.
in me is the hope
yeah.
of glory.
Yeah.
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 Well, and you know, I remember, and I just want to stay on this track that we're on because I think it's
yeah.
a good one for our parents in here who are raising children, whether they're really, really young or they're in their teenage
yeah.
years. But, you know, I remember having a friend come over, and this is when I was, I was probably 8 or 9. And, you know, one of the things that we did a lot when I was growing up, we climbed trees,
yeah.
you know, because we didn't have
Hick.
Video games. You know, we had Atari Pong. Some of y'all remember that? Think the little square ball that went back and forth. That's about
How
all we
old
had.
Are you?
So we climbed trees, but I remember having my friend over, and we had there was this cool tree in my neighborhood. It was probably 60 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And you could literally climb up in this tree to the top and see over my whole town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was way, way up there. And I said, hey, man, let's go climb this tree. And he said, oh, no, my mom won't let me climb trees. And I was like, what? He said, no, my mom won't let me climb trees. She said, I might fall out.
Uh-oh.
And I was thinking, okay, well. And then I had a friend out one time, and I said, hey, you get on the four-wheeler. I'm going to get on my motorcycle, and let's go ride. And, oh, my mom won't let me on four-wheelers. My parents won't let me ride those. I might get hurt. And I'm so grateful as I think back over my childhood
mm-hmm.
that my mom and dad allowed me to climb trees,
mm-hmm.
and I did fall out, and I did get hurt,
yeah.
but
yeah.
I survived,
mm-hmm.
and I rode motorcycles, and I had wrecks, and, you know, I survived,
mm-hmm.
but I got to enjoy those things in life, and I didn't live my life from a position of worry or fear
mm-hmm.
that kept me from being able to become a person later in life
yeah.
mm-hmm.
that those things weren't controlling factors in my
Good.
Life.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we are so wanting to protect our kids because we're operating out of a position of worry and fear
yeah.
that we really stifle and hurt
yeah.
our children
Come
from
on.
Being, no,
mm-hmm.
you can't play ball
yeah.
out in the lot because you might kick the ball out in the street and you run out there and you could get run over by a car. Well, you know, you could get hit by a meteorite too. I mean, you know,
yeah.
anything could happen.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
once
right.
again, I want to balance
sure.
what I'm saying.
Yeah, we get
you know,
it. Yeah.
There's age-appropriate things that kids need to do.
Right, sure.
Josh didn't
yeah.
need to let, you know,
yeah,
Emma
sure.
go out and start climbing a 60-foot tree,
sure.
you know. So, but I think it's very important
yeah,
that we
sure.
don't allow worry and fear
yes.
to control our decisions.
That's so good, Paul.
Absolutely.
This little poem that I've heard years and years ago, but it's such a sermon. All the water in the world, however hard it tried, could never sink a ship unless it got inside. Mm-hmm. All the hardships of the world might wear you pretty thin, but they won't hurt you one least bit unless you let them in. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about. We've got a lot of stuff going on in this world. When have we not had a lot of stuff going on in this world?
True.
Let's don't let these things in us.
Yeah. You had a sermon the other day where you were talking about going up the stairs, and you were had your hands full, and your wife said, now grab some towels on the way up the stairs. You're like, well, you know, you had to put something down to pick something up.
Right.
And that sermon, if you can go back and listen to it, is so good. But that applies to this. Like, if I'm so filled with the presence of God and with His Word and with His truth and Holy Spirit, then that worry shouldn't be able to get in. John 14:16, I was, the other day I was feeling a little anxious and just thinking, okay, God, I don't know how all this is going to work out. And I went into my prayer chair, this is where I go and pray, and he said, well, go to John 14, and that doesn't always work out, you're like, God, where do you want me to go? Where else, you know, like, it doesn't make sense, but this time it made sense. So it was John 14:16, and it clearly said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever, the Holy Spirit. And then in the sideline, it said Greek there means one who comes alongside you. One who helps you, who advocates, comforts, intercedes. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling on the inside of you. The one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me. Mm-hmm. And Galatians 5 says there's fruit that comes from that. And that fruit is peace. And that fruit is joy. And that fruit is kindness. Mm-hmm. And so when you have those feelings we talked about earlier, having that, like, a check of saying, is this from the Lord? Is that is this from Satan? Is this from whatever I've been watching? And then replace it, substitute it out. When you feel anxious, just say, okay, God, you're living on the inside of me, and there's fear, but I thank you right now that I have peace.
I think that's why it's so important to pray in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, it syncs your spirit up with the Holy Spirit.
So
and so, like, when you feel worry, when you feel fear, when you feel anxiety coming in, you begin to pray in the Spirit.
That's right.
And it lines our spirit up with His, and we begin to get God's heart, God's perspective, God's peace,
and
God's joy.
So
and so that's why important. That's why Paul says, pray without ceasing.
Yeah. Right.
So good. Yeah.
No, that's a big one.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people underrate that. They underrate the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life and His role in your life. And I talked about this in our first service. I remember it was several years ago. I can't remember if it was you were preaching here on a Sunday or if it was back when I was in
Applied
Life.
I'm just so thrilled y'all listened to any of my sermons. I didn't know anybody listened to those sermons. I'm just thrilled.
Well, it was one of the few good ones that you preached. So I had to highlight it. So Tim was preaching out of Colossians, I believe it was, or Philippians. The scripture was, let the peace of God rule in your heart through Christ Jesus. And he took the word rule and he picked that out and he did a word study on that word. And that word rule in the Greek means umpire. So he began to say, let the peace of God umpire your decisions. Let the peace of God umpire your thoughts. Let the peace of God umpire your emotions. Well, an umpire, he keeps the game in control. He keeps it moving and working and doing. And so we have to allow the Holy Spirit to be the umpire of our emotions, our will, our decisions, our irrational fears and thoughts, and rational, so that we don't let ourselves get in a position where fear and worry grips our life and stifles us from growing.
And that is what's ruling in your life.
That's it.
And when we just got to ask, is worry ruling right now or is peace ruling? And it's just a question to ask ourselves.
It's really good.
Talked about anointing oil in the first service. You said, that oil. Say that again. That was good.
It was some guy that was preaching, and he was just talking about how, he oiled the pole to his bird feeder in his yard because the squirrels were always climbing up and eating all his bird seed. I don't know if y'all have that problem. But he oiled the pole and he said, the squirrel couldn't get a grip. And he just said, if we allow the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come on our life, the devil can't get his talons in us and get a grip and keep us from moving forward. So we just have to walk in that daily anointing and pray in the Spirit.
That's great.
Now think about oil. Oil comes from a pressing. So the olive oil, you actually get the anointing oil from pressing the olives. And that oil you use for bread and for light. And we were singing that song earlier about purify me. You have to check yourself. Did you mean it? Because he will do that.
Yeah.
Those are one of those worship songs that kind of he catches you there. He's like, you're singing the words. Do you mean it? But just being able to know that God does not waste anything. If you're going through a trial right now, he doesn't waste it. Mm-hmm. He's going to take it and make it for his glory and for your good every single time because he's faithful and that's his character.
Yeah.
And we can trust that every single time.
No, that's really good. My wife and I were having a discussion the other night, or we were talking about a song. There's this new song by Upper Room called Remember, and there's this part in the song where the female worship singer is singing, and she says, "This is our Savior. Look at him." Mm. And my wife said that so convicted her, and it's just brought me to tears every day thinking about it. So I'm going to try to say this without crying, because it's really convicted me since she told me this. But it's like we've been looking at all of these things. We've been looking at social media, and we've been looking at TV, mm-hmm. and we've been looking at news, and looking at whatever to get how we think about life or whatever. And Jesus is going, "Look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me. Like, take heart. I'm the one who's overcome the world. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who's overcome the world." And I think about Peter walking on water, and when he got distracted by the winds and the waves, he began to sink. And it's like there's that moment where we're like, wow, we're sinking in our worry and our fear and anxiety, and all we have to do is fix our eyes on Jesus and say, "Save me, Lord." Right. And he reaches down and grabs us.
Good. Well, you were talking about prophecy, right?
Yeah.
You know how people, you know, prophecy can be intriguing, but it can also be something that can, you just get so focused on that. And it was so good last Wednesday when you were preaching. Josh was talking about revelation, you know, and anytime you start having things that are going on like they're going on, everybody goes to the book of Revelation and everybody starts saying, "This is the end. End is nigh. It's going to happen."
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Adam and Eve did that when they got kicked out of the garden. They probably said, "Go to Revelation. The end is nigh." We just got kicked out of the garden. But what Josh, what you said, man, it was so good. Josh said, Revelation is not a letter about the end times. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ.
That's it.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good.
Wow. Right.
Dude, that changed my life.
That's what it is.
I mean, I'm telling you, I was like,
Jesus.
Yeah.
I've been looking at revelations wrong for my entire life. It's a revelation about Jesus. And if we can just, and once again, I'm not trying to diminish or minimize concerns over what's happening.
Absolutely.
I don't, like Josh said earlier, we're not going to stick our head in the sand like an ostrich and act like something happened. And I want to be wise and I want to do the right things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we have to also balance our unrealistic fears and worries with what the Word says.
Jesus wins.
He wins.
Yes.
Every time.
Here's what we got to know is like, no matter who wins the election in November, Jesus still wins.
That's it.
Like, we read the end of the book. Like, he wins.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you read the Bible and you leave there with a knot in your stomach.
Right.
Anytime you read and you start making a conspiracy theory about this person and that person and here, anytime you read the Bible and it produces fear in your heart, you missed it somewhere.
That's good.
When you read the Bible and it produces worry, somehow or another you didn't get the dots connected.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the Word of God brings peace.
Absolutely.
The Word of God brings direction. The Word of God brings an assurance in our life. Once again, our time goes by fast when we're doing these panels. It just seems like we get over so quick. But I want to end with this one last scripture. Psalm 16, verse 11. In God's presence is the fullness of joy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In God's presence. And if you're not full of joy today, guess whose presence is not there?
Right.
In God's presence is fullness of joy.
Yeah.
So you can continue to be jerked up, or you can get yourself right back in God's presence.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be in some super spiritual place. I get in God's presence driving down the road. I get in God's presence on the tractor. I got jerked up about that. I'll roll that off on you. Lord, I just need your presence right here, and here I go.
That's it.
Spear the next bale of hay and go on down the road. But you just take those thoughts captive, and you get in his presence, because in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forever.
Yeah.
Y'all stand with me.
So good.
So good.
Josh, I want you to pull up that thing that you wrote. We've got to, I don't want to just close here and everybody walk out. I want to make sure that we're getting worry out of us.
Yeah.
Let's get worry and, I'm not worried. Well, then you will be in the next 10 seconds because worry just comes. Let's get a control of this. And as we've been talking about, the way you do is take your thoughts captive.
Right.
The way you do is you begin to watch where your source is coming and let's get our thoughts in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I just want Josh to lead us.
So this is all scripture is all I'm reading right here, but it's something that I have written down. I've got some daily goals that I have written in my phone, and then I've got this written down, and it's just scripture of things to declare over yourself. The way that you combat the enemy when he comes with worry is you speak truth.
Yeah.
Right.
And so don't even ignore him and speak truth, and he'll stop coming around. because he hates the truth. And so, and the devil can't read your mind. He can't read your heart. He doesn't know what's going on. He only hears what's coming out of your mouth.
Right.
So if you always respond the right way, he'll run away. And so here's something that I quote, and it's just scripture. And so I'll say a line and then just kind of repeat after me, and we'll just kind of quote this to end service today. So, I am the head and not the tail.
I'm the head and I'm not the tail.
The first and not the last.
I'm the first and I'm not the last.
Above only and not beneath.
Above only and not beneath.
The lender and not the borrower.
I'm the lender and not the borrower.
I'm blessed going in and blessed going out.
I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out.
Everywhere the sole of my foot treads.
Everywhere the sole of my foot treads.
That ground God will give to me.
That ground God will give to me.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
No weapon formed against me will prosper.
Though I pass through the rivers.
Though I pass through the rivers.
I will not be swept away.
I will not be swept away.
Though I walk through the fire.
Though I walk through the fire.
I will not be burned.
I will not be burned.
Though I walk through the valley of death.
Though I walk through the valley of death.
I will fear no evil.
I will fear no evil.
For my God is with me.
For my God is with me.
Though a thousand fall at my side.
Though a thousand fall at my side.
And 10,000 at my right hand.
And 10,000 at my right hand.
It shall not come near me.
It shall not come near me.
I have the same spirit.
I have the same spirit
that raised Christ Jesus from the dead.
That raised Christ Jesus from the dead.
So arise.
So arise.
Shine, for your light has come.
Shine, for your light has come.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Last line. The Lord fights for you.
The Lord fights for me.
You need only be still.
You need only be still.
Father, today we release our fight to you. Lord, we roll the worries off of us. We put our trust and our confidence in you. Mm-hmm. We will live our life in your presence. And God, we're not going to allow worry to take our thoughts. We're going to take those thoughts captive, and we will live in peace. We'll live in the joy that you have planned for us.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.